opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday, Local Music Tuesday, all the bumper music, except for what you hear at the top. All local bands. So Jong will tweet out all of the bands and the song names. So check them out if you like what you hear. I'm all about supporting local acts and local beer, local alcohol, local businesses. That's me, man. All about Houston, man. All right.
Seen a score on this game lately?
It's still 5-2, I think. Okay. In favor of the Royals. So,
all right. Bottom of the fifth.
Looks that way. Right. I think there might be a pitching change. I think there's a runner on and two outs, but runner on first. So
they better just go to Wade Davis now.
Yeah, I think so. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, well, if you missed anything from the first hour, it's all available on podcastarena.com. Go check that out. And you can also listen online at TuneIn Radio. You can listen on the ESPN radio app. You can also listen on the website, ESPN975.com. Time to do our college football rankings. We mix it up here a little bit. All right. Here's my bottom five. At number 25, I have Ole Miss.
I have the same.
24, I have Pitt.
I have the same.
Uh-oh, this could get ugly. At number 23, I have Duke.
No.
Okay. 22, Michigan. And 21, Toledo.
I have Ole Miss at 25, Pitt at 24, the University of Coug at 23, Temple 22, Toledo 21.
I have Temple at number 20.
Okay.
I have Cal at 19. I have Coug at 18. Right behind, Aggie at 17, Oklahoma at 16, and Iowa at 15.
I have Duke at 20. Memphis 19, Cal 18, Michigan at 17, Sooner at 16, and Aggie at 15.
I have, this is where I'm kind of sticking to my guns. I said Memphis deserved a big bump because they beat Ole Miss. So I have Memphis at 14. I have Okie Light at 13, Stanford at 12, Notre Dame at 11.
I have Notre Dame at 14, Oklahoma State at 13, Iowa 12 and Florida 11.
I just can't make myself put Iowa that high. It's against my religion.
Yeah, makes sense.
Here's the top 10.
They still don't have an impressive win, and they won't until the Big Ten championship game.
I have Alabama at number 10. I have Florida at number 9. I have Florida State at number 8. I did not drop Florida much because of their loss to LSU. I'm still very impressed by that football team. And I think their loss to LSU is a better loss than Alabama's to Ole Miss.
That's
so
true.
I have Alabama 10, Florida 9, Florida State at 8. I have Horned Frog at 7, and Michigan State at 6.
I have Stanford at 10, Florida State at 9, TCU at 8, Bama at 7, and Baylor at 6.
Okay, so here's my top 5. At number 5, I have the Clemson Tigers.
Okay.
At number 4, and I think they'll move up because now that JT Barrett is starting at quarterback for them.
I think so, too. I think you're about to see a big jump in that team.
Yeah, I have Ohio State at 4. I have the Baylor Bears at 3. I have LSU at number 2. Most impressive win of the week. And as we said before, I'm trying to do these like the committee would. You get a win like that, you deserve to move way up. Body of work. The only team that I think has a better body of work than LSU right now is Utah.
Yeah.
So I have Utah 1.
I've got Michigan State at 5, Ohio State at 4, and like you, I expect them to reclaim the top spot at least pretty soon would be my guess, because I think JT Barrett's the best quarterback they've got. I've got LSU at 3. I've got Clemson at 2. And I think people are kind of already forgetting about the Notre Dame win, and people thought that they got a win at Louisville, and people thought they were going to get trouble from Georgia Tech, and they beat the snot out of Georgia Tech. I think Clemson may be a little bit overlooked. And I've got Utah at number 1. I think no one's done as much as what that team's done.
I agree. So, there you go.
So, who's your top 4 right now?
My top 4 right now that would be in the playoff. One matchup would be Utah-Ohio State. The other would be LSU-Baylor.
Okay. So, and I've got Clemson in over Baylor.
Yeah.
Mostly,
and I would be okay with that, too. Honestly, any of those top 6.
I think Baylor will have a chance, you know, to prove themselves. And when you watch Baylor, I mean, they beat the crap out of everybody. But when you, like, really dive into who they're beating the crap out of, it's not as impressive. I mean, obviously, we've said this for a while. Baylor's hay is going to be made at the end of the season. You know, their last 5 games at KSU, Oklahoma, at Oak State, at TCU, home to Texas. That's when we'll know what Baylor is. Right now, we just know they're a team that's better than trashy teams.
Yeah.
They're way better than trashy teams, but of all these teams that we're talking about in the top tier, they're the one who they don't have a single win that you look at and go, yeah, that's a really big win, because they don't have one.
JMCK says, how can you have Michigan State so high? They're the luckiest team in sports, and it took an act of baby Jesus to eke out a win against UM.
Yeah, it did.
Michigan's pretty good. But Michigan's really good, and I would also say TCU was just as lucky to escape that Texas Tech game. Michigan's a hell of a lot better than Texas Tech.
Yeah.
That's why I have Michigan State ahead of TCU. So
I also, and I credit Michigan State, because they played Oregon. And I know Oregon didn't end up being as good as what, you know, everybody thought they would be. But the fact that they scheduled that team and played that game, I have a lot of respect for that. And then to win at Michigan, I know they should they have won. Was it a luck box win? Absolutely, it was a
sure
luck box win. But as it stands, they've got a win at Michigan,
yeah,
and a win against Oregon, and they're 7-0.
And I still have them 6th. It's not like,
yeah, I've got them 5th.
Ordinarily, if you just looked at that,
where are you going to
put body
them?
Of work? I couldn't move them up too much for that win, but
Michigan
I couldn't
State,
move them down for it either.
Fred,
right?
If you remember Michigan State, like week 2, I had Michigan State at number 1. So to have them at 5th now, I mean, I'm just there's not much lower you can put them than 5th or 6th, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I think I have them as low as I can put them. I still think their body of work's more impressive than TCU and Florida State, who I have right behind them. Now,
their body of work, like who they've beat, is better than it's better than Ohio State. It's better than Baylor. It's better than TCU.
It's
better than Florida State, but
they're
just not impressive.
They haven't been that impressive doing it either, and that's why.
Yeah, but this is one of those things, and we do this week to week. If Michigan State beats Ohio State late in the season, does it matter if it was a luck box win or not? No, because then they'll be 11-0, and no one's going to question how good they are. Yeah, I mean, they it might be not winning pretty.
Yeah. But anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And the thing is with these rankings, and like I said, I'm trying to do them the way that the committee's going to do them, where they're going to change every week.
Yeah.
And some of these teams will have opportunities to move up. And if Clemson beats Florida State or Florida State beats Clemson, that's a team that's going to be in that top. Clemson's already right there, but I would say the same thing about either one.
But the winner of that game is a top. I mean, they're a playoff team for at that time.
And somebody's asking, what's so impressive about Utah's body of work? Michigan? Beating Michigan was...
That's part of it.
That's part of it. And even the non-Power 5s they played, Utah State's not a bad non-Power 5.
And that was when Fresno. They had Chucky Keaton.
Yeah, at Oregon, they just destroyed Oregon. Now, maybe Oregon's not turning out not to be very good, but
Cal's a top 20 team. Arizona State's a good team,
right,
and they
there.
Beat the crap out,
yeah,
of them.
And you know what? They've still got USC. They've still got Arizona. They've still got UCLA. Washington at Washington is not going to be an easy trip. You look at the rest of their schedule, other than Oregon State and Colorado, those are all games that are going to be difficult. But I right now they're playing well enough to win all of them. And
yep.
And
what's funny about them is statistically, they're not that good. Like, they're middle of the road offensively, middle of the road defensively, but they're winning games, and they're winning games against pretty good teams. And yeah, that the win against Michigan, and again, just like I credit Michigan State for playing Oregon non-conference, I give Utah a lot of credit for playing Michigan non-conference.
Yeah.
That's a game that neither one of those teams really has to play.
And you deserve points for that.
Yeah.
So, I'm giving them points for that.
And realistically, when Utah scheduled Michigan 5-6 years ago, Michigan's probably going, yeah.
Breakfast.
We're basically setting up where we're putting on our schedule that we beat a Power 5 conference team, and we're going to be on our way to what Utah wasn't expected to win that game when they scheduled it, and they won.
No. And you know what?
If I told you at the beginning of the year Utah was going to beat Oregon at Oregon by 42 points, you would have laughed me out the damn door.
Of the one-loss teams, Alabama, Notre Dame, Stanford, I'll throw Oklahoma into that mix. Which one do you think is most likely to
Alabama
sneak in there?
Oh, well.
No, I'm not asking you who the best one is. I think Alabama's, okay. But they've also got some losable games coming up.
Yeah, no, that's true. Most likely to sneak in with one
into
loss?
Into the top four.
Man, that's tough. Probably Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, Notre Dame's remaining schedule, I guess the Stanford game is probably their toughest game left at Stanford. But then they're at Temple and at Pitt, which those are decent teams.
Those are not easy wins on the road.
But it's easier than LSU or you know, an SEC championship game. And Notre Dame doesn't have a conference championship game. And they're Notre Dame. And their one loss is at Clemson by 2 points.
In a game they should have won.
Yeah, so if they run the table, they probably deserve to be in there. Yeah,
I would say they would be most likely followed closely by Stanford, because if Stanford wins out, they will have beaten Utah. They will have they're going to have a pretty impressive resume too.
And man, Notre Dame, the schedule that they play, considering they're an independent, even though they play a bunch of ACC teams, the only non-Power 5 teams on their schedule, at Temple, not an easy game. Navy, which is a rivalry game they play every year, not an easy game. And UMass, that's it. Everything else, they're technical non-conference games. I mean, Texas is, that's when you schedule that at Stanford. Those are, that's your big boy scheduling, and they don't have to. So I'll give Notre Dame some credit on that.
And you know what? I don't think they thought Temple was going to be much of a threat.
No, I'm sure they didn't.
Played them, so. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. Get some phone calls when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Step back out of my way, head first into the maze. I won't be broken. Never stop or hesitate.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Let's try a phone call. Chris, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Fellow sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, yeah, I just had a quick question about, Power 5 conferences playing, you know, all these small garbage schools every year. I wanted to know, is there a certain reason why they play those schools? Is it for, you know, to get the smaller schools out on some airtime, or how does it go? Why don't they play other Power 5 ranked schools like Big 12, SEC, SEC, Pac-10, or something like that?
Because they want to be, you know, if you play a schedule loaded up with good teams at the beginning and you lose two of those games, it doesn't matter if you run your conference. You're not making it to the playoff now. That's just the way it works now.
And
you want to get your team ready for a conference play, and the best way to do that is to play a couple scrubs. And I think it's important to have a big-time game, a big-time non-conference game on your schedule, and I always reward teams for that, and I always crap on teams that don't do that. But I don't expect anyone to go out and schedule three non-conference studs. you know, I understand why they don't do that.
The fact that there's the 14 playoff, I think, is leading more of these schools to play big early games. You're not going to play everybody. I do think, and for some of the smaller schools, you also imagine you're LSU and you're playing Tennessee Chattanooga for a game.
Yeah.
That game's not going to mean anything to you, but you've also got enough good quality wins on your schedule, assuming you win. You pay that school a bunch of money, so that school gets a bunch of cash. You fill the stands anyway. They drink a bunch of beer and buy a bunch of food, and you make money off of it. Yeah. And your TV deal still lets you.
And you're 1-0 no matter what.
Yeah, so it makes sense to have one or two, especially if you're in the SEC, if you're in the Pac-12. It makes sense to have a couple of those on there. But a lot of these teams are playing one high-profile game. I think if you do expand the playoff to where conference champions in the Power Five are automatically in, you'll see a lot more of these games.
Yeah.
And a lot more big time matchups, because it won't matter. If you might lose a couple games early, but if you win your conference, then you're going to get in anyway. So, and eventually I think that's what we're heading to. But I thought it worked pretty well for the first year, and see how it goes with the next couple of years. Let's try Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Sports, guys.
Hey, now, sports.
All right. I had two questions for you guys. What are the chances that if Romo and Dez comes back by, let's say, the eighth game, that we make the playoffs? And can you name the only guy to get drafted in all three major sports? I hang up the list.
As far as the Cowboys go, if they both give them both back by week eight, I think they could make the playoffs. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to.
Nobody's running away with that division, especially if you watch those teams last night.
But I think what we're also seeing that the Cowboys aren't going to keep winning until week eight. It's not great. I'm not 100% sure on your trivia question. I know Dave Winfield was really good at all three games. I don't know if that's the answer or not. But I
don't care.
I'll Google it during a break.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't do trivia. I think the...
Well done.
That's
Dave Winfield.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. But, honestly, right now, I hope they don't rush Dez back, because last thing you need is to get him hurt again. I think you can win a game with him and Matt Castle. I don't know how many you're going to win. But I don't know that Romo's... Frankly, I don't think Romo's going to be back as soon as you guys are hoping.
I don't think so.
And I think that's going to be the killer. And I hope people are realizing just how good that guy is when you don't have him. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780.
Every time we talk about this, Baylor fan gets mad at me.
Why? Because you talked about their schedule?
Yeah. I didn't make the schedule.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but there's no way to defend that.
There is none. You played Rice, Lamar, and SMU. I mean, there's not even none of those are even respectable wins for a program that wants to be taken seriously. It's just not. And that's why last year, when you lost one game, you didn't get in, because you did nothing in the non-conference, nothing. And should you be rewarded for that? I say no.
And the thing is, it's not going to matter this year, because if you're good enough and you beat TCU and you beat Oklahoma and you beat Oklahoma State, those are going to be three pretty quality wins, and that's probably going to be enough. And you'll be able to get by with it this year. But you know what? You can't lose.
You know what? You know why? You know when it won't be enough? Is if you and TCU both only have one loss.
Well, that's what happened last year. No, I'm saying they have to run the table. They lose a game, they're not getting in.
And I agree with that.
And a couple people misunderstood what we're talking about with Alabama. If Alabama wins out, then, yeah, they're probably getting a spot. We're talking about who's most likely of the one-loss teams to win out.
Right.
Because Alabama's probably got the toughest
schedule.
And it doesn't mean they won't. They're pretty damn good. But, and somebody was asking, well, if Ole Miss wins out and wins the conference with two losses, is the SEC shut out?
No.
Probably not, no. And I don't think that's going to happen anyway. That team kind of went to hell after
I will say, if Ole Miss wins the conference with two losses and Alabama doesn't lose another game, you've got a one-loss Alabama sitting there, you might get a non-SEC champion team going to the playoff.
Yeah.
There's no rule saying that can't happen.
That very well could happen, and I think it probably should happen. But
then you're going to get like last year, well, we beat them head-to-head. Yeah, doesn't matter. You lost to Memphis, bro.
You lost to Memphis, and yeah, you lost two games. It's – Sorry.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to body work. And I
but yeah, if Alabama wins the rest of their games,
that's a more impressive resume than what Mississippi had, even though they beat Alabama. Yeah. And that's, you know, I don't have a problem with any of that. I really don't if it plays out that way. I know Ole Miss fan will be upset, but you know what? Don't lose to Memphis.
Yeah.
Don't go in there. Now, I give them credit for going and playing in there, especially because that's not, again, that's not your typical non-Power 5 team this year.
True, but
that's
they not also...
your easy game, but you're supposed to win that game.
They also didn't schedule a Power 5 non-conference game.
Yeah.
Like, so that was their big non-conference game, and they lost it. Alabama beat Wisconsin. And is Wisconsin, do they look as good as we thought they would be? No, but it's still Wisconsin. And
they still went in there and played them, and that's... It, very much like every year, for the most part, Alabama and LSU try to schedule a high-profile game to start the season.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works out where those teams are good. Sometimes, you know, because you schedule them early, they wind up not being what you thought. But that looked like a great game. Now, LSU's playing Wisconsin at Lambeau next year or the year after. That's a kind of matchup that people want to see early.
My guess is that the winner of LSU-Alabama is in the top four. They're in the playoff.
I think so. I don't want to say I can't see LSU losing to anybody but Alabama, because I can see scenarios where the quarterback play goes to hell. And yeah, you know, plus they're gonna get, if you get Florida again in the championship game, that's not gonna be easy.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Guys, guess what time it is? It's FanDuel time. Time for you to take my money again, like Kermit Frog did last week, winning our...
Kermit Frog. You lost to Kermit Frog?
Kermit Frog took 200 bucks. Scored 180.12 points.
That's pretty salty.
That's very stout. So congratulations to him. And we're signing up for next week. Yeah, and you know who he started at quarterback?
Who?
Andy Dalton.
Oh, smart move.
So this is a pretty good team. You had Andy Dalton, LeGarrette Blount, Chris Ivory, DeAndre Hopkins, Julian Edelman, Allen Robinson, Antonio Gates, Brandon McManus, and the Broncos defense. So, yeah, that's how you win FanDuel. You put together a team like that. So it's a $5 league, and take my money, please. FanDuel.com/Fowler, and you can be the next Kermit Frog and win $200 if you win the tournament. FanDuel is easy, man. It's a leader in one-week fantasy football. The money's real. They're paying out $2 billion this year. All you have to do is pick a team like that, stand to the salary cap, and then sit back and watch the games. And if you don't want to play for $5 in our league, you can play for as little as a dollar. If you want to play for a bunch more, you can do that too. And if you love fantasy football, there's nothing better than FanDuel, because if you sucked last week like I did, I get to start all over this week with a brand new team. It's not too late. We're playing every week. And coming up about the halfway point, we're going to have a $25 one. So we're going to do a midseason special. But right now, only $5 to play. If you're already on FanDuel, all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Fowler and sign up, F-A-O-U-R. If you're not on FanDuel, here's your chance. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code Fowler and sign up now. Every dollar you deposit, they're going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. It's only good for the first 50 people that use my code Fowler today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com. Sign up today.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. See, Bill Cowher said the Browns should cut Manziel. I think he was...
Well, listen, I think that it's kind of strange that no one's really talking about what John Manziel's been accused of.
Well, we'll get to that. In fact, I'm curious to get Jerome Solomon's thoughts on that. Houston Chronicle columnist. Follow him on Twitter @Jerome Solomon.
Jerome, if John Football was black, and accused of hitting his girlfriend, what would the media outcry be like?
Why did everything got to be about race with you?
Because I know that if he was black, it would be a lot worse than it is. I promise you that.
That's an odd question in that, there's no question, there's no doubt if he's black, it'd be ridiculous. What is strange, though, is he is Johnny Football, so I don't understand why it still isn't ridiculous. Because everything else he'd ever done in his entire, life of popularity once he became known was blown way out of proportion. This is something that's been underplayed, and I'm like, what has so changed in his life that all of a sudden events that go on with him are now underplayed instead of overblown? And I guess it's because, he's gone in for treatment now, so do people feel sorry for him or something? I'm not so sure that makes any sense either. And to jump to another real quick point, the way Sarkisian was treated once people heard that he showed up to work drunk, not quite the same reaction from people when they started hearing that Ty Lawson may have had liquor on his breath at practice with the Nuggets, right?
All right.
What's the difference?
What is the difference?
No, I know the difference.
I wonder, though, if Manziel, it's just he's become irrelevant because he's not a good football player, and we started to see that it's all hype, and that's all it was.
Yeah, but he had, he's still Johnny Football, and people, when he gets in the game, people lose their minds, and when he gets pulled out, it's not the same as it was still, but his name still carries a lot of weight. So I don't understand why, I don't get it. I really don't. But especially the particular accusation. If it was, if it was just he was, driving fast and got a speeding ticket, or hell, even if he was at a bar drinking a beer, I would think that it would be overblown. But what the girlfriend said, that's very odd that we act like it didn't happen.
Jerome Solomon is our guest, and so are you all excited now that your Texans have won a game and they've turned it around and they're going to go on and make the playoffs, right?
I tell you, I saw something in that team that I hadn't seen in that team all season, Fred.
The Jaguars?
Hey, Bill O'Brien says, I don't care what anybody says, that's a good team over there.
Yeah.
They just had some tough luck. So,
right.
If they get to play the Jaguars and Buccaneers every week, this is a playoff team. There's no question about it. It's they still did not look very good. I did give them credit in my columnists for being kind. At the moment that they usually completely fall apart and lose a game, they didn't fall apart. They that fourth down that they blew, and then the Jaguars scored on the blown coverage, and then they added the 12 men on the field penalty on the extra point. I was like, oh yeah, here come the Texans now, but they didn't, but you play 16 games, you got to win some, unless you're Detroit from a couple years ago. So I'm not at all sold or impressed by their effort thus far.
Hey, I want to kind of follow up on something we've talked about a little bit with Bill O'Brien and shuffling the quarterbacks back and forth, and especially now that Hoyer has a decent game. How badly has he botched the entire quarterback situation this season?
It's been pure comedy, and now you know what's going to happen, and you know that now that he says he's my guy, that Hoyer's going to go out there and play like Brian Hoyer again. So then what are you going to do? He's my guy. You messed it up when you benched him the first time. You probably messed it up when you signed him at first. You messed it up when you started him. You messed it up when you benched him. You've been messing up all along the way. You've been messing up by putting him in and out of the games, et cetera, et cetera. And now I'm not a fan, so I can say I'm just rooting for more comedy. because it won't be any fun to just have Brian Hoyer play throughout the whole season. I mean, I need some Ryan Mallett in my life. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I need the back and forth. I need the drama.
Yeah, I need.
I wish they would have been mic'd up when Hoyer left the game for that play, and Mallett grabbed his helmet. And then, like, what was Mallett saying under his breath after he got pulled after one play? And not only that, but what he said when they called in a run play for the one play he was out there. Oh, I bet that's just gold.
This is the time that I miss being a beat writer so much, because as a beat writer, you really get you get closer to a lot more guys than you are as a columnist. I mean, I know some guys on the team, but, you know, a lot of my boys, they've been getting shipped off. But if I was a beat writer and there every day and every practice and all through the summer and all this, after the game, Mallett was standing there all looking all sad and lonely and putting his clothes on. Everybody else was happy because they won a game. And I just didn't know him well enough. I wanted to say, dude, why the hell didn't you check to a pass, man? What's wrong with you? You don't want to play? But I couldn't say that because he might have whipped my ass. You know, I didn't really want that to happen. So I really wonder about him, though. Like, how smart are you? You go into that game and that situation, you see Hoyer is faking it. Oh, there's no way I'm running the play they call. No, it's not even possible that I would have run that play. No, not going to happen. I might have run a quarterback draw or something. I don't know.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would beat your ass. I think he would pout and then, you know, get all angry and storm off.
He's a big country boy, man. I don't know. You know, I'm smart enough to know when who not to fight, you know. Not like Hoyer, I whip his ass. Ain't no question. Mallett, you know,
he's big. He's got reach.
Mallett's a big dude, man. Yeah, he's a big dude.
Jerome Solomon is our guest. I want to ask you, looking ahead of this Dolphins game, because one of the things we see a lot of times when there's a coaching change is, you know, a team will come out and play really well for a week, and then they go back to being what they were after, you know, after that first initial emotional burst. Do you think that's what you're going to see out of the Dolphins, or do you think that this guy actually has found something with him?
Well, we know the team was better than they played, so they may not be as good as he made them play, but they're better than what they've done. So, no, I expect a lot more from them over the next few weeks than what we saw the first few weeks. I mean, they have a decent defense, and I know you guys are not big on Ryan Tannehill, but you know, he's at least good and average, and he's been below average this season, so I expect him to be better. I'm a fan of Dan Campbell. I've known him since he was in college at A&M, and he's one of my favorite guys and gave me one of my all-time favorite, you know, discussions at a Sugar Bowl one time, which was really great. So I'm rooting for him to do well. Shocked as hell that he's a head coach in the NFL, though.
Name drop.
That's right.
Hey, it was a name drop. That's not even a name drop. I covered the guy. What do you mean? That's not like, you know, he's one of my boys or anything. I haven't talked to him in 15 years, but, you know, when they announced it, I was like, is that guy? What's he doing coaching as a head coach in the league? So, but, you know, a lot of times football is a game of emotion, and guys like him who can change the mental approach to a team and make them tougher and play tougher, that's all you need sometimes. And that's, you know, that won't hurt Miami at all. And this week, they're playing a team that they know they can beat. It's the Texans.
Well, I think a lot of teams feel that way when they play the Texans.
Yeah, you should get excited when the Texans come to town until they show us otherwise. And you can't tell me that these guys aren't licking their chops. When you see what Hoyer did, he had a really, really, really nice game, not taking anything away from him. But his bad plays are still pretty funny.
Am I the only one who also, while we're on the Texans, it's a new season next. Can we stop with that?
Yeah. There's 10 one-game seasons.
Yeah, there's 16 games in the season, and just because you effed off four of the first five of them doesn't mean you get to, like, make up a new rule where it's not the same season anymore. It's the same season.
They all count the same, and those ones you lost, you don't make up for them by winning.
Right.
You know, down the, and
so even if you win the next two, you're just average.
Yeah, you still have the same player.
Yeah.
You know, you're still the same. You're still that same team. Now, if you're completely not that squad and you can prove that, fine. And let's talk about it later. But don't talk about it beforehand. And that's one of the things that college coaches do that.
Yeah.
They college – and that's –
O'Brien has a college coaching mentality. Mac Brown was great at that. You know, it was because in college you do have the non-conference is totally different from conference. And when you're at Texas and Mac Brown, there's pre-Oklahoma and post-Oklahoma. Those were different seasons. But in the NFL, no. These, it's 16 games total.
The big difference is, in the you know, in the NFL, when your actual season ends, you get to sign new players and draft new players, and you get to kick the crappy ones off your team. And if it were really a new season, half these guys wouldn't be around, I promise you. It's not a new season.
Hey, that's why they brought Charles James back.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a new season. Charles James is here, guys.
That's the thing. They're bringing back guys that they cut from a team that's not that good.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What do you have the same coaches, and you're getting out-coached in early in games, period. And that's a bad sign. Then you go into halftime and you come out in the third quarter and you're getting out-coached again. This team, it's a bad combination. And it's not a new season. This just has the look of a bad season, you know. And it won't be like it was a couple years ago where we go, the team didn't play up to their capability and had a lot of unfortunate injuries. If they don't figure it out and have turn into a decent season, it'll be that's because that's who they are. They're just not that great.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can check him out in the Houston Chronicle. Follow him on Twitter at Jerome Solomon. Great stuff as always, my friend. We shall talk to you again next week.
Adios, fellas.
See you, buddy. All right, guys, it's fantasy football season, and I'm going to tell you about an app that's going to help you dominate your league. I've been telling you about it for a while. If you're not on it yet, I don't know what's wrong with you. You just don't you like having a crappy fantasy team? You like being sucky at fantasy football? Okay, cool. If not, Sports Manias. Go to the App Store. The app is totally free. Search for Sports Manias, one word, and it'll give you a leg up on your competition. It's very simple. You import your fantasy teams from Yahoo, CBS, or ESPN, and you'll get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts around the country, including breaking news, scoring opportunities, fantasy points, and milestones. Right now, you'll get an alert every time your players are in the red zone, and it's just about your guys. You get real-time updates on your players, just your players, so you don't have to sift through all the news about the games to find the news on your guys. Just news on your guys, and it's going to help you make smarter lineup decisions. I've been using this app to help me. I've got leagues on ESPN, CBS, and Yahoo, and it's great for me because I can put all these leagues into one spot and just get one organized feed. Sports Mania is a brand new fantasy tool. It's going to give you an edge to help dominate your league. So get on your cell or tablet right now. Go to the App Store. Download Sports Manias for free right now. That's Sports Manias.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
And we are back on The Blitz. Keep your dial on Gal Media for the NLCS and ALCS. Tune in at 7 tonight for Cubs Mets on 1560. Tomorrow we have Royals Blues Jays at 3 on 1560. Then at 7 we have Cubs Mets on ESPN 97.5. Is that right? Royals Blue Jays is tomorrow? There's not an off day there? Okay. Doesn't sound right to me. Hustletown with Craig Shelton and Jason Braddock tonight at 7. All right, we have a leftover gem of the day from AJ yesterday that we did not get to, so let's do the Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
All right. The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. This is one of those instances where a guy just kind of gets too cocky. He's too proud of himself and it costs him. El Reno, Oklahoma. A man from Arizona was driving through El Reno and was pulled over on October 11th. He was swerving and weaving while he was driving, and they thought maybe he was intoxicated, so they pulled him over. They get there and they're like, yeah, this guy's not drunk. He says he's sleepy. He's helping his girlfriend move to Georgia. And deputies suggested that he take a nap before getting back on the road. Out of nowhere, Vasconello said, listen, I'm not a criminal. You can check my truck if you want. And thinking it was odd for him to offer that after they were about to let him go with a warning, they decided, well, maybe checking isn't a bad idea. This is Randall Edwards, a Canadian county sheriff, said, my deputies thought it was really strange that he would just tell them they could search his vehicle out of the blue. So they thought that might be a good indicator that they should indeed search it. During the search, they found a loaded Bursa 380 caliber pistol in the front passenger seat. They also noticed that the manifold of the truck's engine had been tampered with. A fiber optic scope had been run through a vacuum line to a large metal box inside the engine. Inside the box, deputies found 8 kilos of heroin wrapped in cellophane, carbon paper, and aluminum foil. This was a very sophisticated hidden compartment requiring a high degree of engineering in order to conceal over 17 pounds of narcotics worth over $3 million inside a functioning engine that someone could drive across the country.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It is really cool, but it's not really cool. Like, it's one of those things where it's like you think it's so cool that the cops aren't going to notice it.
Right.
But they noticed it. Mm. Like, maybe he was just like, maybe it was a pride thing, like, oh, look at this badass hidden compartment I have. Yeah, go ahead and check it out. See what you find.
They'll never catch me.
Yeah, they caught you. $3 million worth of heroin. Vasconello is taken into custody, transported to Canadian County Jail, where he's booked on charges of aggravated trafficking of heroin and possession of a firearm in the commission of a felony. His bond is set at $102,500. He remains in custody. Hmm. Not wise. And that's your gym of the day, leftover.
Yeah, there you go.
Zadok's Jewelers, gym of the day. The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler, gym of the day.
Lamont says, boss reprimanded me because I missed a deadline for a deliverable. Looked him in the eyes and said, new season.
Yeah, no big deal.
Wife catches you cheating.
New season.
New season.
Big deal.
Essentially, this is the new, we're going to take them one game at a time, except now we're making it a season. All right. So you're 1-0 in this new season.
It's so it drives me crazy. I was listening to that press conference today, and he's like, you know, next season at Miami. I'm like, dude, you're a grown-up. You're a head football coach in the NFL. It's not next season. It's next week. It's the same season that you're already blowing. Let's not talk about it. Like, I understand you want to take it one week at a time. But it's not a new season. Stop with that. That's something a high school coach would say to a team that started out 1-4. These are professional athletes, grown ass men. They know it's one season. Because let me tell you, if it's a new season and you won last week, that means your season winning percentage was 100%. You didn't lose a game all last season. You ain't going to the playoffs. Doesn't make much sense, does it? The new season thing, that's stupid. That's tired. Get off that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. This is the NFL, man. You're professionals.
A new season. Yeah. You say that now because the next new season that comes around, if something doesn't change, you might not be here for it, Billy L.
Now, you know what? That's probably what it is. This may be his season. That way you could say he coached for 16 years.
You coached for 32 seasons with the Texans?
Yeah, wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. And had a losing record in those 32 seasons. Oh, that's too
bad. Amazing that you were able to have that longevity, even though, you know, you didn't win very often. That's all right.
You know what? Let's be fair.
32 seasons is 32 seasons.
Do you know what his career is in his 20 seasons so far? Or 22 seasons, right?
22 seasons. What is he through 22 seasons?
He's 11-11.
You know, I guess that's respectable.
I suppose so. No, it's mediocre. That's what it is, which is pretty much what everything around here is. It's what it's been for years. I mean, that'll be perfect that he winds up with a coaching career with a 500 record, whether it's a season or a year or a game. Anyway, I'll tell you something that's not mediocre. That's my buddy Hector over at SiteJab. If you got a business and things aren't going quite the way you want, maybe you've tried to look yourself up on the internet. If you can't find you, guess what? Your customers can't either. Well, Hector can help you. He's going to help them find you, and he's going to help your business grow. In fact, he's helped local businesses grow their leads from 30 to as much as 75% in just a few months. Imagine what that can mean to your bottom line. That'll get the phone ringing, man. And he's helped so many companies go from mom and pop to huge because simply by getting them in the right place on the internet, website design, pay-per-click management, SiteJab.com does all of it. Hector's based right here in Houston, and loves helping Houston companies find success. And he's got success stories all over the place. And one of their home improvement places just closed on a $30,000 deal from an internet lead that came in last week. That can be you. That can be your business. And let Hector set you up. Get a free consultation today. If you call now and mention ESPN, you'll get a free mobile version of your website when you sign up. That's a $400 value. I'm telling you, you're looking for the real online quarterback. Call Hector Garcia at sitejab.com. Here's your number, 713-999-4661. 713-999-4661. They guarantee leads. They guarantee they can increase your leads in 6 months or their service is free. Call them today, 713-999-4661 or Google SiteJab. That's SiteJab.com. Based right here in Houston, here to help your locally owned company.
ESPN 97.5.
Talk to successful